This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Two Ivy League universities suspend protesters as the pro-Palestinian anti-Israel protests spread. I'm John Stolness in Washington.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Middle East again, urging a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Sagar Magani, Washington.
U.S. Marshals killed while serving a warrant in North Carolina.
Additional gunfire from inside of the residence.
I'm Clayton Neville.
Back in a Manhattan court, we'll have an update on the trial of former President Donald Trump.
On Wall Street, it's the last day of April trading, and markets are on pace to put their first losing month in the books this year. I'm Peter Shacknow.
The family of a black teen who was shot after ringing the wrong doorbell has filed a lawsuit against the homeowner. I'm Haya Panjwani.
And proof that Amazon will ship anything. All ahead on America in the Morning. Two Ivy League universities say they are suspending students who refuse to stop their protests and break up pro-Palestinian encampments that officials say violate school policy and threaten the safety of Jewish students. Our John Stolness is in with more from Washington.
Columbia University students continued marching around campus, chanting pro-Palestinian slogans and calling for the university to divest from Israel, defying a 2 p.m. Eastern Time deadline yesterday to clear out tent encampments, resulting in suspension for those students involved. This Columbia student organizer, Sueda Polat, tells WABC she's defiant despite the threat of suspension.
We will not be moved by these intimidation tactics. You can see outside you now that the students are mobilized. There's hundreds of them here today. They will not be moved. We demand divestment. We will not be moved unless by force.
Cornell University announcing yesterday it was also suspending students who refused to move their tent encampment to an alternate location. CNN reports about 1,000 protesters have been arrested on more than 20 campuses nationwide in at least 16 states, including at the University of Texas. Some schools, like the University of Southern California, have canceled their primary commencement events. Jewish students say they are fearful to attend classes, and Columbia University has moved to hybrid classes until graduation as Jewish groups call for an end to what they say are anti-Semitic protests. Brian Cohen, executive director of the Kraft Center for Jewish Student Life at Columbia, tells CNN it's simply not safe for Jewish students on campus right now.
This is not about free speech. This is about giving our students the right to an education. If the students packed up today and came back tomorrow at noon within the rules of safe demonstration, I'd have no problem. They could say whatever they want as long as they didn't violate harassment law.
Chants of "From the River to the Sea" echoing throughout a number of protest sites, which are calls for the state of Israel to be wiped out. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says these kinds of chants are unacceptable.
We believe, and we have said, anti-Semitism is dangerous. It is hate speech, and it is abhorrent. And there is no place for anti-Semitism on campuses or anywhere else. It is a painful moment. We get that. We get that it is a painful moment that Americans are dealing with. And free expression has to be done within the law.
But when asked if she thinks the president agrees with the suspension of the students.
Got to be super, super mindful. These are institutions. Some of them are private. Some of them are public. And it is up to their leadership, university leadership and colleges, to make that decision. Not going to weigh in on that from here.
Former President Donald Trump on Truth Social had a one sentence message: stop the protests now. On many college campuses, however, not only do they not seem to be stopping, they seem to be growing in number and intensity. John Stolness, Washington.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in the Middle East, urging Hamas to agree to demands from Israel, Egypt, and Qatar to release their hostages and requesting a ceasefire. Washington correspondent Sagar Magani has more.
Some protesters and others who are against this war often ignore that reality, that Hamas started this war, and Hamas actually has the power to get to a ceasefire, and they're choosing not to do so. They're choosing actually to endanger their own people in Gaza by allowing sort of the situation to continue without, because they don't accept the deal.
In Saudi Arabia, Blinken said Gaza's humanitarian situation is a catastrophe, and the best way to ease it is to reach an elusive deal to stop the fighting.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly.
And he hopes Hamas makes the right call.
The quickest way to bring this to an end is to get to a ceasefire and the release of hostages. There's been an extraordinary effort that's been made, and I really want to thank profoundly our friends from Qatar and Egypt, who've been playing an instrumental role in trying to get this ceasefire and release of hostages.
Even without a deal, Blinken says improving conditions in Gaza is vital, while Israel has allowed more aid in.
It's not enough.
And he'll use this trip, his seventh to the region since the war started, to press Israeli leaders to boost the flow. Sagar Magani, Washington.
8 law enforcement officers shot in North Carolina. The latest when America in the Morning continues after these messages.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. Some potential severe weather today for upper-tier states. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy with details.
In the Plain States, we are watching an area of low pressure move out of Wyoming into South Dakota and then head into southern Minnesota by late in the day. The associated cold front will extend well to the south into the central plains. It is along this front and near the low center where we are looking for some strong to severe thunderstorms to form this afternoon into tonight. So eastern areas in South Dakota into southern Minnesota, as well as eastern Nebraska and Iowa, will have to watch for the risk of heavy rain, damaging winds, hail, and even a tornado, though activity is not expected to be as widespread as this past weekend. Additional scattered severe thunderstorms will form farther south through portions of Kansas into Texas. These storms will be a little more isolated, but still can contain gusty winds and hail. Outside of that, there will be some showers in the eastern portions of Montana and Wyoming into the Dakotas and northern Minnesota from that same storm. Another cold front will be moving eastward through the eastern states from New York and New England southward to Alabama and Georgia. Some of those storms could have stronger winds and small hail, mainly in the north where the cold front is the strongest. It is going to remain warm in parts of the mid-Atlantic into the southeast ahead of that front, with highs back into the 80s and 90s. Some records will once again be in jeopardy. Shifting out west, to the northwest specifically, we're looking at some showers throughout the day through Oregon into Washington, Idaho, as well as western Montana. These areas will be quite cool overall with some snow in the mountains. That's the weather across America. A sunny day in St. Louis, Missouri with a nice afternoon and a high of 84. Portland, Oregon will not be quite as warm with plenty of clouds, a couple of showers, and a high of just 53. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Multiple federal officers are dead after serving a warrant with police in Charlotte, North Carolina. Correspondent Clayton Neville has the latest.
U.S. Marshals killed and a Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer in critical condition. Police Chief Johnny Jennings says a U.S. Marshals fugitive task force was serving a warrant on a felony gun charge.
Officers returned gunfire and struck the victim, who was later pronounced deceased in the front yard of the residence. As officers approached that individual, they then received additional gunfire from inside of the residence.
Investigators say a number of officers were hit. The shots were exchanged between police and the suspect who was killed.
There was a total of 4 CMPD officers that were struck by gunfire today and 4 task force officers. So that's a total of 8 law enforcement officers who were struck by gunfire.
Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles asked the community to rally around the officers' families.
Because they will need this. And we are a city that will make it possible for them to be this way, to be able to live and know that we honor and respect the loss that they have.
Schools were locked down and roads were closed after the killings, but were eventually reopened. Police questioned 2 people who were inside the home with the suspect when he was shot and killed. I'm Clayton Neville.
The civil trial in New York City for former President Donald Trump will resume this morning after a 3-day weekend. A banker who is alleged to have played a key role in hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels is expected to testify. Gary Faro, a senior managing director at the now-defunct First Republic Bank, will be taking the witness stand. The hush money payment is at the center of the charges that Trump is facing, which include falsifying business records in the first ever criminal trial of a former president. Renting or buying a home? We'll have surprising new numbers next to reveal which is best. All part of your Tuesday business report when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, always putting clients' interests first. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Well, we're set to turn the calendar page to a new month. Here's CNBC's Peter Schack now with a look at Tuesday business.
Wall Street opens this morning for the last day of April trading as the major averages are on pace for their first losing month of 2024. Companies whose shares hit fresh all-time highs yesterday include Chipotle, Wingstop, Texas Roadhouse, Royal Caribbean, Tractor Supply, and Goldman Sachs. Paramount Global may be on track to merge with Skydance Media, with Paramount's controlling shareholder Sherry Redstone favoring a deal with the company that helped it make the Top Gun and Mission Impossible movies.
The CEO of Paramount Global, Bob Bakish, is stepping down, the company announcing that it is creating a new office of the CEO consisting of 3 senior company executives. Sherry Redstone putting a statement here in this release saying she has confidence in this team. No comment in this release as to whether or not they're going to be moving forward with that Skydance deal.
CNBC's Julia Boorstin. The Fed begins a 2-day meeting on interest rates today, although most investors are not expecting any interest rate moves. It is the busiest week of earnings season, and today investors will get quarterly results from a load of big-name companies, among them 3M, Coca-Cola, Eli Lilly, McDonald's, Amazon, and Pinterest. Domino's Pizza shares had a big move yesterday.
Domino's Pizza, fast food chain, hitting a new 52-week high after reporting a near 6% boost in same-store sales. The CEO said the loyalty program has grown significantly since the launch.
That's CNBC's John Fort. Viking River Cruises will issue stock to the public this week, and it plans to price its initial public offering after the closing bell today.
Seems it's almost better to rent than buy a house now.
Well, it used to depend on the city, but that's not the case anymore.
Home ownership has become so expensive that renting a home is now cheaper than buying one in all 50 of the largest U.S. metro markets, and that's according to a brand new report from Bankrate.
CNBC's Diana Olick with the latest comparison of current monthly mortgage payments and current monthly rent payments. It's a whopping 37% cheaper to rent nationwide right now.
But in 21 markets, the gap gap is actually 50% or more. Those include San Francisco, Seattle, Salt Lake City, Austin, Denver, and Dallas. Now, cities with the smallest gap, but still cheaper to rent, include Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Cleveland, St. Louis, and Tampa.
Diana notes that homeownership has always been seen as better because it's a wealth builder as long as you stay in the home for a significant amount of time. Home prices do usually go up. They've only gone down nationally once on average in recent history. On today's watch list, the Fed begins that two-day meeting on interest rates. UnitedHealth CEO testifies on Capitol Hill on the cyber attack that exposed the personal data of millions of Americans. We get the latest on home prices with the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, plus the latest on consumer confidence.
There's CNBC's Peter Schack now with a look at Tuesday business. When we return on America in the Morning, reunited thanks to a microchip. Back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. A Kansas City teenager who mistakenly went to the wrong house to pick up a family member and was shot by the homeowner is now filing a lawsuit in the case. An update from correspondent Haya Panjwani.
Ralph Jarl, a black 16-year-old, was shot by a white homeowner more than a year ago when he mistakenly went to the wrong home in Kansas City, Missouri. His mother, Cleo Nagbe, filed a complaint that states her son suffered and sustained permanent injuries as well as pain and suffering as a direct result of the shooter, Andrew Lester's, actions. Lester pleaded not guilty in September 2023. The trial is scheduled to begin more than a year later on October 7, 2024. His lawyer said at a preliminary hearing for the criminal case that Lester was acting in self-defense, terrified by the stranger who knocked on his door as he settled into bed for the night. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Cats can find their way into unusual places. Consider the plight of a Utah couple whose indoor cat, Galena, suddenly disappeared. 6 days after she went missing, they received a call from a veterinarian in Los Angeles who scanned the cat's microchip. Galena the cat wound up 500 miles from home, and apparently she had some help. The cat, who the owners said had a knack for playing with boxes, somehow got into an Amazon return shipment and was sent first class to California, where an alert Amazon warehouse worker found the feline and took care of her. Despite not eating or drinking for a few days, Galena the cat was in good health. Her owners flew to California and were reunited with their Amazon-shipped pet, no longer perplexed. America in the Morning for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants, Christian Matos. Our senior producer, Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour, student protester suspensions begin at Columbia University.
Some conservative states suing over President Biden's tweaks to Title IX. I'm Clayton Neville.
Drinking less or no alcohol is one path to better health. I'm Haya Panjwani.
A 75-year-old rancher who shot and killed a Mexican migrant is going free. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A New York DA is apologizing after she refused to pull over for a traffic stop. I'm Pamela Furrer.
Coming to a highway near you, driverless trucks.
Season 50 of Survivor will include a lot of familiar faces. I'm Kevin Carr.
Back after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning on what we're looking at in today's weather forecast. Here's AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
In the Northwest, we are looking at more showers throughout the day through Oregon and Washington, eastward to Idaho and western Montana. These areas will also be quite cool, and there will be enough chilly air for snow to continue in the Cascades and northern Rockies. Some of these places could see several inches of snow today and tonight. The southwestern states, from California through Colorado and Arizona and New Mexico, will have largely dry weather with abundant sunshine and temperatures in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which is largely above the historical average. In the Plains States, we're watching an area of low pressure moving out of Wyoming into South Dakota and then heading into southern Minnesota by late in the day. The associated cold front extending well to the south in the central plains. Near this storm center and along the front, we are looking for some strong to severe thunderstorms to form this afternoon into tonight. So eastern areas in South Dakota into southern Minnesota, as well as eastern Nebraska and Iowa, will have to watch for the risk of heavy rain, damaging winds, and even a tornado. Though the activity is not expected to be as widespread as this past weekend, people should still remain cautious to the risks. Additional scattered severe thunderstorms will form farther south through portions of Kansas, southward to Texas. These storms will be a little more isolated, but still can contain damaging winds and hail. Outside of that, there will be some showers in the eastern portions of Montana and Wyoming this morning. That will continue into the Dakotas and northern Minnesota from that same storm. And another cold front in the east will lead to some showers and thunderstorms from New York and New England, southward to Alabama and Georgia. Some of those storms could be stronger, having winds and small hail associated with them, mainly in the north where the front is the strongest. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist Matt Rindy.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. Pro-Palestinian protests continue to surge across the nation at schools from Boston to Los Angeles, some which has led to violence and intimidation of Jewish students. As correspondent Julie Walker reports, in some cases, including at New York's Columbia University, protesters feel emboldened to violate school ordinances, and one protester who spoke to WABC-TV says they're ready to disrupt their planned graduation and refuse to abide by any university offers unless all of their demands are met.
The notices are yet another intimidation tactic from the university. These tactics are reminiscent of those employed by the Israeli occupation against our people in Gaza and Palestine. Ironically, the notices assure students that their rights to demonstrate will be protected by the university if they sign these papers. We refuse to operate on the basis of speculation.
Demonstrations royal U.S. campuses ahead of graduations as protesters spar over the Israel-Hamas war.
This is a smokescreen. Bureaucracy is a prison, and the students refuse to trade in the blood of Palestinians. The university has conducted itself with obstinacy and arrogance, refusing to be flexible on some of our most basic points.
At UCLA, where activists clashed, at Columbia University, an encampment sits on the lawn where graduation will take place. Maj is with National Students for Justice in Palestine.
If Columbia wants to have a peaceful graduation, then there has to be some form of like meeting halfway with the students.
Students are demanding their universities cut financial ties with Israel over the large-scale operation in Gaza. Columbia alum Daria Lisa Chevalier.
They've met these demands before with regards to South African apartheid divestment.
Columbia officials say they won't bring police back in after arrests were made early in the encampment.
We will not be moved by these intimidation tactics. You can see outside you now that the students are mobilized. There's hundreds of them here today. They will not be moved. We demand divestment. We will not be moved unless by force.
Julie Walker, New York.
Texas and other conservative states are challenging a federal regulation that seeks to protect the rights of transgender students in American schools. Correspondent Clayton Neville explains.
The Biden administration says that revisions recently made to Title IX are meant to protect the rights of LGBTQ students, among them doing away with bans on biological men and women's restrooms in schools, essentially letting a transgender student use the restroom designated to the gender that they identify with. Several conservative states pushing back and are suing the Biden administration over the revisions.
The law, Title IX, was passed to protect against pervasive discrimination against women, against biological women. This is federal government overreach, but it's of a degree and a dimension like no other.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell.
These rules eviscerate Title IX. They are entirely contrary to what Title IX was intended to achieve and what it took, what we have implemented and understood Title IX to mean and to protect for 50 years.
Mural with attorneys general in Texas and other states argue that the Biden administration revisions threaten federal money to schools who don't comply.
It's a naked attempt to strong arm our schools, our faculty, our staff, our administration, and state government officials into molding children in the federal government's preferred image of how a child and how an adult should think, act, and speak.
While advocates of the changes say they protect LGBTQ students, Title IX itself bars sex-based discrimination at universities and K through 12 schools that receive federal money. Critics say the revisions extend well beyond the intent of the rule. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, in fact, instructing schools in his state to ignore the revised Title IX. In a letter to President Biden, the governor said that the rewrite is unconstitutional and insisted that it tramples laws he signed to ban biological men from competing against female athletes in his state. I'm Clayton Neville.
As the late Jimmy Buffett used to sing, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. But as correspondent Haya Panjwani reports, it might be time to rethink drinking due to the effects of alcohol in your system.
New research shows that moderate drinking doesn't have the heart benefits it once thought to have. Dr. Amanda Chung with Northwestern Medicine explains that by looking at various studies, findings show that drinking less is healthier for you.
In a more recent study that was a meta-analysis looking at all the prior studies that were done and accumulating all that data or synthesizing all of that data, it suggests that actually there really isn't any level of alcohol consumption that is considered beneficial.
The United Kingdom, France, Denmark, Holland, and Australia recently reviewed new evidence and lowered their alcohol consumption recommendations. And Ireland will require cancer warning labels on alcohol starting in 2026.
Alcohol is such a big part of society and a big part of how we socialize and do business, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And so it's really important to have strategies for mitigating risk and minimizing alcohol use.
Drinking raises the risk of several types of cancer, including colon, liver, breast, and mouth and throat. I'm Haya Panjwani.
When we return on America in the Morning, Arizona murder charge dropped. New York prosecutor not above the law. A couple of the stories we're following next. We're back after these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. Prosecutors are dropping charges against an Arizona rancher who fatally shot a migrant last year on his property. The story from correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The shooting happened in January of 2023. George Allen Kelly says he fired warning shots at a group of men on his cattle ranch and says he didn't directly fire at the victim. He was on trial nearly a month, but the jury deadlocked. And now the prosecutor in Santa Cruz County has opted against a new trial.
Because of the unique circumstances and challenges surrounding this case, the Santa Cruz County Attorney's Office has decided not to seek a retrial.
Judge Thomas Fink made it official.
The state having indicated that it's filing a motion to dismiss, the court's going to grant the dismissal. It's also going to exonerate any bond that's been posted. The defendant is free from any restrictions or encumbrances associated with this case.
The family of the victim, 48-year-old Gabrielle Quain Buitamea, met with consular officials last week looking for an explanation about the case ending in a mistrial. I'm Jackie Quinn.
In upstate New York, a Monroe County district attorney is under fire and now apologizing after she refused to stop for a police officer who clocked her going 20 miles over the speed limit. Pamela Furr reports the encounter with the officer who finally caught up to her was captured on his body cam.
Her name is Sandra Dorley, and as you mentioned, she refused to stop after she was caught speeding and instead drove home.
That doesn't give you a right to go 55 and a 35.
You know what? That's fine. You know what I've been dealing with all day? Three murders in the city. And do you think I really care if I was going 20 miles over the speed limit?
The police followed her there and confronted her.
I'm doing my job. You say you're a DA?
I am the DA. Let me get you my badge.
But after body cam footage of the encounter hit the internet, Dorley apologizing for her behavior.
Last Monday, I failed you and the standards that I hold myself to. And for that, I am so sorry. What I did was wrong. No excuses. I take full responsibility for my actions. I didn't treat this officer with the respect that he deserved. All police officers deserve respect.
But this isn't the end of the story. No matter what contrition she's showing now,
I am truly and sincerely sorry.
New York's governor is now asking for an investigation, saying Dorley has undermined her ability to hold others accountable for violating the law. I'm Pamela Furr.
U.S. Supreme Court justices have tackled a number of issues as of late, including abortion and presidential immunity, and you can now add marijuana to the list, as correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
The case is out of Vista, California. A CBD hemp oil maker is fighting a lawsuit from truck driver Douglas Horn, who says he was fired after using a product falsely advertised as being free from marijuana's active ingredient. Horn has had chronic back and shoulder pain after a serious accident. He claims Medical Marijuana Incorporated said what they sold him contained CBD, a generally legal compound, not THC, which gives marijuana its high. Horn says he failed a routine drug test at work and was fired, and the product contained THC. An appeals court found Horn's claim should be allowed to go forward under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, RICO. The company appealed the decision to the Supreme Court, saying Horn is claiming personal injury. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The future is near for self-driving tractor trailers on U.S. roads. Filling in for Chuck Palm, correspondent Jennifer King brings us that in today's Tech Report.
Imagine rolling down the highway and an 18-wheeler pulls up behind you with no one at the wheel.
What we're building is a driver.
During a demonstration in Pittsburgh, CEO Chris Urmson says his company, Aurora Innovation, Inc., plans to launch up to 20 of their driverless semis along Interstate 45 between Dallas and Houston within the next 9 months.
To do that, we have to be safe.
The autonomous trucks would be carrying loads for partners like FedEx and Uber Freight. Phil Koopman is an associate professor of engineering at Carnegie Mellon, who studies vehicle automation safety.
Computers don't drive drunk, but they don't make human errors, they make robot errors.
Koopman says he's concerned about the relaxed approach government regulators are taking with driverless vehicles.
The company's going to decide when they think they're safe. And the only thing the regulators are going to do is judge them after the fact if something went wrong.
There's a nationwide truck driver shortage. The goal of Aurora and competitor companies is to put tens of thousands of the driverless trucks on U.S. public freeways within the next 3 or 4 years. I'm Jennifer King.
America in the Morning continues with Robert Workman and a check of sports.
Two more NBA teams into the next round of the playoffs. The Thunder completed their four-game sweep of the Pelicans 97-89, 24 points apiece for Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Nuggets eliminated the Lakers last night with a 108-106 win in Game 5. Jamal Murray with a game-high 32 points, including the winning jumper with 3 seconds left. In the East, the Celtics slashed the Heat 102-88 for a 3-1 lead in that series. Derek White hit 8 three balls on the way to 38 points.
I love it, and then such great players on the team. They allow me to do what I do and believe in me, and I think that's big.
A second NHL team is into the second round. The Panthers put away the Lightning 6-1 to take that series in 5 games. 2 goals apiece for Alexander Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe. And the Stars doubled up the Golden Knights 4-2. That series now 2-2. The road team has won every game so far. Baseball, the Orioles blanked the Yankees 2-0. Grayson Rodriguez and the youthful Ward scattered 7 hits. Gunnar Henderson with a leadoff homer.
Yeah, I haven't really, well, I got to do leadoff a little bit last year, but that was my first taste of it, and I'm kind of enjoying getting up there and trying to help the team get on the board early.
At age 22, Henderson is the youngest player ever to reach 10 taters before May 1st. Rays shut out the Brewers 1-0. Ryan Pepiot and the Peppers combined on a 3-hit gem. Reds ripped the Padres. Nick Lodolo allowed just 1 hit and fanned 11 over 7 innings. Mariners get a walk-off 2-run shot from Mitch Garver into the upper deck to edge the Braves. Cubs down the Mets on Christopher Morel's 9th-inning blast off Edwin Diaz. Twins won their 8th straight, beating the White Sox. Max Kepler with a tie-breaking RBI knock in the 9th. Nationals completed a 4-game sweep of the Marlins in Miami. C.J. Abrams went deep. That's 7 losses in a row for the last-place Fish. Justin Turner homered twice as the Blue Jays shaded the Royals. Angels tipped the Phillies. A's over the Pirates. And the Dodgers drubbed the Diamondbacks. Cardinals and Tigers rained out. They'll play 2 today. And the Chiefs signed Travis Kelce to a new 2-year contract that makes him the highest-paid tight end in the NFL. 10 years in the league, 9 Pro Bowls, 3 Super Bowl rings, and the most postseason receptions ever. That's Tuesday Sports.
Robert Workman with a check of sports. Court gives pop singer and her father new marching orders. Part of what we're covering next when America in the Morning continues after these messages. Welcome back. This is America in the Morning. Following 2 fatal vehicle crashes, automaker Ford is now under investigation. Correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Both of the crashes involved Mustang Mach-E electric vehicles. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is investigating the incidents, one in Philadelphia in March, the other in Texas in February. 3 people died. Ford says on its website that its driving systems do not replace human drivers, who have to be ready to take control at any time. The government says the investigation will evaluate how the Blue Cruise partially automated driving system performs and will also look at its camera-based driver monitoring system. Ford says it's working with NHTSA to support the investigation. I'm Rita Foley.
A court makes it official, settlement between Britney Spears and her father over the pop singer's conservatorship. Here's more on that deal from entertainment correspondent Margie Zaraletta.
The dispute between Britney Spears and her father, Jamie Spears, was set to go to trial next month and could have exposed a lot of embarrassing details. Although the conservatorship ended more than 2 years ago, there were still issues involving attorney fees and what Britney Spears' lawyer, Matthew Rosengartz, said was financial malfeasance by her father. A judge approved a settlement Friday. Terms were not disclosed, but one filing says Jamie Spears is fully and finally discharged as conservator. Rosengartz says Britney Spears' freedom is now complete. Jamie Spears' attorney, Alex Weingarten, tells the New York Times his client has only acted in his daughter's best interests. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
The 50th season of Survivor will have a special twist to it. Kevin Carr has a preview.
Fans of the reality television series Survivor got some exciting news this weekend. Host and executive producer Jeff Probst attended a 4-year consideration event in Los Angeles on Saturday, and he had some news for a special upcoming season. Probst and CBS shared the video on Instagram.
Well, about 10 seconds ago, we just decided, thanks to all the fans that were in attendance at the FYC event here in Hollywood, that Survivor 50 will be returning players. And you all are a part of it!
Rather than bringing in a selection of new contestants for the 50th competition, CBS has been toying with the idea of a slate of returning players, and the fans' reaction in LA apparently sealed the deal enough to announce it. Even though there have been dozens of seasons of the series, it's only been on the air since the year 2000.
You are witnessing 16 Americans begin an adventure that will forever change their lives.
Because CBS airs 2 competitions each year, with the exception of during the COVID pandemic, the number of seasons essentially doubles. The show is currently in its 46th season, so there's still some time before season 50, which is planned for the spring of 2026. CBS is working on the next 2 seasons, which will start shooting soon. Then the entirety of season 49 has to be planned and shot. So aside from the announcement of returning players, not much else is known about Survivor 50, including where it will take place. Fans will just have to survive a couple more years to find out. I'm Kevin Carr.
That's our show for today. America in the Morning for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants, Christian Matos. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.